Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. Isn't it a privilege that Emma invited every single one of us to be here this morning? Thank you, Emma. What a joy to be here, I'm sure you'll agree, to celebrate with Emma. And for those of you who are not always with us, an extra big hello to all of you. You are so welcome here. And we hope you haven't just come for the cake afterwards, have you? But hopefully you'll enjoy that as well. But you are so welcome. We are thrilled to have you with us as a church family. And we should start, shouldn't we, by again just wishing a huge congratulations to our wonderful Emma. And Emma, I've got one question for you. How cold was it in there? Was it all right? Good. Well, congratulations to you. Over the next few moments, I'd love us just together as church family, as friends, to look at this, as I've given it the title this morning, what it is to be lost but found and truly loved. And how at a point of baptism, we look at how we can then go the distance with God. Does that sound all right? We're going to look at that over the next few moments. But just before we do that, why don't we just pray together that actually, as we just settle our hearts and minds whilst we celebrate, we lift Emma to God, particularly today, but that God might speak to each of us individually as well. Let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the joy of being together. Thank you for the absolute privilege we have to hear Emma's story and to sense of the working of you in her heart and in her life. Lord, just as we ponder a few things now, and we listen to some of the truth of your word, would you be speaking clearly to each one of us? Draw us closer to you in your name. Amen. Well, I wonder whether, as we get started, whether any of you have ever felt really lost. Even as I say that, I wonder what comes to mind for you. And there's two ways that we can feel quite lost, aren't there? Both physically, thank the Lord for SatNav and Google. Physically, we can get quite lost, can't we? We can feel cut off, led astray, or just somewhere where we really have lost our bearings altogether. But then there's also the second sense as well, isn't there, a feeling kind of metaphorically lost, that actually maybe it's just that even in amongst a crowd, we just don't quite fit in, or that we actually feel that we've got a different outlook on things, or we have a different response to things, maybe a different belief system, as we've heard today. You know, for us as Christians sometimes, we're amongst others brilliantly so, but where we actually have different thoughts, beliefs and feelings. Sometimes it might be that we feel lost because we just feel quite confused. We don't know where life is going, or we just feel we've come a little bit unstuck. Well, I was quizzing myself and thinking, can I feel of a time when I felt either one of those, both senses of being lost? And what came to mind for me was in the physical sense. I remember being 18 and I did a Christian gap year program. I went out to the outskirts of Paris doing youth ministry and youth work. And the team of us went one weekend to a lovely place in a cottage in Brittany that we'd been loaned. And with this bunch of about nine of us, I decided, somewhat silly, crazily, to get up early one morning, go down to the beach that we were near, and go and hunt out mussels for me to cook up into a soup that evening. I look back now and think, what possessed me? I could have killed the whole lot of them, I'm sure. I wouldn't know today how to properly cook mussels. But as I went down to the beach, and I love rock pools and all the exploring and so on, and I wandered head down with my bucket, collecting quite a lot of mussels, actually, and I wandered along the beach in and out of these rock pools and realised at a certain point in time I was far from our cottage, and actually, looking back up onto the side of the beach side, the cliff side, I had no idea how to get back. I felt utterly lost. I'll tell you the end of that story in a little while. In the other sense of feeling quite lost, I remember being in year seven at school. Do we have any year sevens? No, few of you, a bit older, year eight, year nine, year 10. But being year seven, oh, one over there, brilliant. So year seven, you start at secondary school, don't you? And I was fortunate that I went up to secondary school with two of my particularly closest friends. We were a solid three, and we had been for many years. And I remember being only a few weeks into year seven, and I got one of those awful colds, which many people have had now. Tis the season, isn't it? And I had 2 days off school. And when I came back to school on day three, my two friends, of whom there'd been this solid threesome of us, steady, sturdy friends we had been for the last 5 or 6 years, they had decided that the three was no longer to be a three, it was going to be a two. Can I hear a ah? But no, joking aside, it was really tough. I felt utterly lost as I came back to school and these girls decided they did not want me in their little troop, in their gang evermore. Actually, I felt pushed out, rejected. And actually, it was a really tough time, unsettled, dislodged, confused. What had I done to bring about this decision? And actually, for a few weeks, a period of time, I felt really lost, thinking, what do I do now? When we look at the Bible, we see that actually there's quite a lot in the Bible about being both lost but also found. And some of you might know the stories. And I was thinking, I wonder if Jesus ever felt lost. Well, we see him, don't we? We see Jesus call the disciples, his best mates, the 12 of them, from all different backgrounds, many of them fishermen. And I wonder whether sometimes Jesus actually felt quite lost or that he didn't quite fit within that group. Now, of course, we know that might have been because he was the Son of God. But actually, sometimes when they were bashful, Jesus was brave. When they were full of craziness, he was full of courage, wasn't he? And actually, what we see in the person of Jesus was that against the backdrop of these human friends who messed up all the time, Jesus didn't quite fit because he had power and insight, courage, integrity, and wisdom. So there's a picture there which shows us that he didn't quite fit. But I also went on to think, I think at times Jesus also knew what it was to feel lost, as maybe we do at different times in our life. There was a time, wasn't there, and it tells us in Luke 22, when we're going on the journey of the story from Jesus' life and his workings and his teachings, but right to the point of where Jesus is soon to be betrayed and crucified. We see that, some of you will know, he goes up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and in that moment when he's calling out to God his Father, knowing that any minute now he's to be betrayed, I think in that moment Jesus felt very lost. And he says these words, he says, God, please take this cup away from me. Take this pain, this burden, this sense of having to go through the course of crucifixion. And he felt cut off there, but knew, as many of us will know, that he knew he had to do what lay ahead of him, because in that he brought about the ultimate sacrifice, forgiveness, and forgave the sins of the world. But in that moment, we see in that heart call, that deep pain of Jesus, that he felt lost. He felt burdened. He felt isolated. And then scoot forward in all the Gospels, but in Matthew 27, it also tells us that as we see then scoot forward into the betrayal, into the mocking, into the crucifixion, and Jesus on the cross, we see that moment then when, as he hung on the cross, Jesus taking those final painful breaths with the shoulders of the sins of all the world, both then, every time in the past, now, and for you and me, he showed that depth of pain and feeling lost when, as you might remember, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which shows us that in that powerful moment, he was cut off from God. He felt lost away from the Father. He felt abandoned. Powerful story. We remember it particularly at Easter time, don't we? But today as well, it encourages me that as we look at the depths of the pain of that story, actually what it tells us is that Jesus in his brokenness not only did it out of love, but he knew what it felt like to feel lost, to feel othered, to feel betrayed, to feel left out, to feel pushed out, to be punished unfairly, to be criticized unjustly. But he did that, didn't he? So that we, you, me, would not have to face those feelings alone. And it may be for some of us that actually, whether it's now, whether as I talk of being lost, your mind goes back to a painful moment in the dim and distant past, or even in this last week, we all know, I'm sure, what at times it feels like to feel lost, confused, not quite knowing what the future might hold. But, and it's a good word, but, isn't it? Because it always provides a turnaround. But the good news is that this is not a bleak story, is it? It's not one of remaining lost or feeling lost. Because we all know the ending, And Sats already portrayed that earlier, as he said, about Jesus' death and resurrection in order that we would have hope and eternal life. It's the best possible story. But the Bible does talk to us on many occasions about being lost and found. Some of you will know there's three particular stories in the Bible that talk about being lost and found. I won't quiz you, but you might know. There's the lost coin. There's the prodigal son, or the lost son, who's lost from the father but comes back. And then there's the lost sheep. And I love the story of the lost sheep. If any of you have read it, or if you haven't read it, I bet it would take you about, less than a minute to read it. It's about four verses long. And a parable is a story with a meaning. And there's some verses in Luke 15, verse 4, which say this, and you can see on this screen. I'll read it for us. It says, "If a man has 100 sheep and just one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? Yes, and when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And he will say to his friends and neighbors, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.'" Is that an encouraging story? Sometimes we look at some of the stories in the Bible and they probably wash over us. You know, we think of them as kind of being the children's storybooks. But if we actually pause for a moment, my first question when I was rereading it was actually, why did this sheep go off in the first place? And yet, actually, doesn't that maybe resonate with some of us as to why do we sometimes stay far away from God? Why do we do things wrong? Why do we think there's a thin end of the wedge, but something, some sinfulness gets bigger and bigger? Well, we all might have answers to that. But, what happens in this story? The shepherd leaves the 99 who are doing all right, and he goes after the one, because God pursues us. God pursued that sheep and he brought that sheep safely back. But not even that, then they rejoiced. I'm always up for a party, are you? I have a badge sitting on my desk that says, "Always party ready." I like that. But I think Jesus was showing through this that actually the Father God celebrates when his children recognize him and come home. We have many wonderful young people in our church, and we often have a Friday night youth group. And I came along a couple of weeks ago to film, for your viewing pleasure right now, a few of our young people answering a question about what they would do in the midst of challenging times. It's short and sweet, but the question was, who do you go to? If life is tough, it's all right, Emma, you're sitting there looking very embarrassed. Both of them, when life is challenging and tough, our question was, as you'll see on your screens, who do you turn to when times are tough or challenging or you may feel lost? Actually, when times are tough, when maybe we feel lost, when we feel pushed out, if we feel hurt, we feel confused, isn't it great to have people to turn to? And hopefully for all of us, we have trusted friends and family members. But even more than that, I would venture that in the midst of feeling lost, isn't it amazing to feel found? I wonder if, as I asked you earlier about a time of feeling lost, I wonder if actually taking that one step on, do you have a recollection of a time where you've actually been found? Now, I'm going to point to Isaac at the moment. One of the worst moments I've possibly had, and I'm sure many parents can resonate with this as well. One of the worst moments I had was when Isaac was lost for too many minutes, which felt like an absolute lifetime. And I can tell you exactly where it was, and he was about age 2.5. It was simply in Peacocks here in town, the shop. And he did, at age 2.5, what many other little kids do. What do? Hide. They run and hide amidst the clothes. And of course he'd done this before, but I'd found him quite easily. You know, he's half peeking out and I could see him and you play the game. On this occasion, it was the longest 2 minutes of my entire life when I couldn't find him. And I remember that panic. Your life flashes before your eyes, doesn't it? You think of every eventuality that could possibly have happened. I ran shamelessly, having been shouting his name, to the woman at the desk. She came out. She went to the door. Good thinking, just so that he couldn't get out. And we searched the store. And it's not a big place, is it? But it was terrifying in those two and a half minutes. Thank you, Isaac. You've shortened my life by a few years, I'm sure. But what happens when you then find your child? In that moment, it's a bit of a mix, isn't it? You want to kind of shake them. But actually, in that moment, what do? You give them the biggest possible hug, don't you? There's that relief of your brain having gone 10 to the dozen of anything and everything that could have happened. The panic was set aside. It was terrifying in that moment. But that hug, just pulling him in close, was that just relief, what it is to find a child. And I hope for Isaac also to be found, although he thought it was hilarious, of course, playing that game. What it is to be found. I mentioned earlier about me going onto the beach, hunting out mussels. I didn't know where I was, completely lost. It was about 6, 7 in the morning, and yet I was found because a lovely friend of mine had recognised I wasn't in the cottage, don't know quite how, but came out to look for me, found me on the beach and pointed me the right way back. Abandoned, feeling abandoned by those two friends, the three became a two. Actually, over the period of time, I found myself being found by another friend, also called Rachel, of which I had many friends called Rachel growing up. But actually, God provided for me to be found. Another friendship was birthed, which became one, two, and then a group of others. Again, in retrospect, how amazing it is to be found. Being found is what we need as humans, isn't it? We are wired, we are made to have a heart that craves something more than maybe our earthly lives even can deliver. This is the heart of the gospel, the good news. Because of our sinfulness, every one of us, I'm afraid to say, because of our sinfulness and pushing against God, we are lost. Just like the sheep, we wander off, we go our own way. We do it daily, we do it weekly, we do it monthly, don't we? But because of what Jesus did, we can be found. Because just like the shepherd who brings the sheep back on his shoulders, we can be found. And God loves us and he wants to know us intimately, personally, deeply, in a way that never gets bored. God will never get bored of you, never not want to pursue you, never not be interested in your life, never not with you in the ups and downs of working life or school life, whether you feel in the thick of things or on the edge of things. God will never not want to be close to us. And because of God's abundance and his grace, we are truly loved. We're reminded of this, hopefully not just on baptism day, but on every day of every year. Because the ever faithful God who made the universe, the sun, the stars, truly loves you. And whether you know that, whether you've heard it a million times, whether you've heard it for the first time today, whether you've heard it but you just don't believe it, please today let that simmer in your heart and mind and let it sink in that God loves you. And he would search for you just as he did with the lost sheep. We're going to show you another little clip now because we said to the young people in follow-up to our previous question, again, in challenging times when things are tough, why go to God? Why seek out God? What's the sense in it? But isn't that good to hear that, again, there's a sense of actually when times are tough, we can all go to God. And we remember that today. We've heard brilliantly from Emma sharing her testimony and her story that now is the time, having recognised that, to go the distance with God. That actually he is there because he's found us when we were lost. He truly loves us. But now, Emma, and indeed for all of us, now having recognised that, it's time to go the distance. And for all of us, I'd love to remind us this morning that God is always faithful, isn't he? Whether we recognise him, whether we feel close, he is always there. God never gives up on us. There is never any judgment that is too harsh or too high to overcome. No matter how far we've wandered off, and I know, as I'm sure you do, at times we do, don't we? We wander off, we push back, we do our own thing. But when we are found by him, it is not with any judgment or condemnation, but with an abundance of love, joy, and celebration. And today, with Emma, we celebrate, don't we? And we celebrate that truth. I don't know if any of you would say that you are runners now or you have been runners in the past, but it strikes me as I was thinking about this going the distance with God. Actually, if you're a runner, whether you're doing couch to 5K or you've done half marathons, whatever, when you set out on a course to run, you usually know what your starting point is, don't you? And you know where you're aiming for, whether it's a short run, a 5K, a 10K or whatever. And yet, actually, as you set out to run, you don't always know what the terrain or the ground will be like, do you? It may be perfectly straight and even. It may take you through some twists and turns. It may take you into wooded land where, actually, your feet come unstuck because of the tree trunks or the bumps in the road. But actually, the challenge for all of us as we're running is to just stay on the track, isn't it? To keep going, to dodge the bullets, to get over the unlevel ground, but to keep going towards the goal. And it's a bit like that for us in life, I think, that actually sometimes when we set our eyes on where we're heading, if we set our gaze on Jesus and wanting to become more like him, sometimes we come unstuck. It doesn't always run smoothly. But just as we asked our teenagers just last week when we were in Starbucks having nice frappuccinos and hot chocolates together, we said, what would you rather have? Would you like a world that is beige and a life that is beige but safe, but you never have the highs and the lows? Or would you rather have a life that is full of technicolor and yet actually at times it's a roller coaster? And I won't put them on the spot, but I think unanimously people voted for the technicolor. And actually recognising that sometimes that brings a roller coaster of life with it as well. But just as we're starting to come to a close, let me just remind us of this powerful verse in Romans 8, which reminds us that actually wherever the road might be rocky, unlevel, this is the truth of what the good news of the gospel reminds us. And it says this, it says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us, that's you and me, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What powerful words those are, which say again and again, don't they? Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, because he's got us, he's got you, and whether we know him intimately or not, he is with you. All we need to do is choose to look to him. So being found is not the end, it's just the beginning. And Emma, we pray for you today that you will hold on tight in the roller coaster of life, and for all of us that we will truly know what it is to venture a technicolor life of all the adventure that it will bring, but knowing God right in the centre. God's love is the fuel that empowers each of us to go the distance. His love is utterly unshakable. That word was in one of the songs we sung earlier. And nothing can separate us from it. But walking with God requires choice and it requires perseverance. There will be those up and downs, but we know that God's love equips us with the strength to keep going. The good news is that God's love is never dependent on our performance. It is simply steadfast when we want it in every season of our life. And when we understand that we're truly loved by God, then we can face any challenge, Emma. Wherever you are, in any season of your life, and for all of our friends here, we know that God's love will carry us through every roller coaster, every valley, every mountain. So this is what we pray for you today, Emma, on your special celebration day, but also for ourselves, that if we feel lost, may we today remember that God is searching for you. And you know what? He's ready to be found. I've certainly found that a number of times in the past, that when I stop and pause, I look to him. God is always there, ready, gracious, loving, and ready to be found. So let us keep following that shepherd, and he will guide us every step of the way. So I just wonder, as we close, it'd be great to pray for Emma. And we're going to have a time in just a moment, as I hand back to Sat, for others to share their encouragement or words for Emma. But also for anyone who's here where you think, I have that sense of the shepherd actually coming to find me. If I have that sense of feeling lost and I'm fed up of feeling lost, and I just would love to know what it is to be found, then please don't leave today without speaking to me or to Sat or to any other member of the leadership team, because we'd love to just simply chat with you and pray with you and just ask that God would reassure you even today of what it feels like to feel found, and to pray with you that Jesus would encounter you in that place. So please, at the end of the service, I'll be stood over here. Do come and find me or indeed the others. We'd love to just chat with you. Today might be the day, hadn't it, for all of us, whether we've known God for a long time or a short time, to just say yes. Lord, find me in the place that I am at. Give me strength to carry on. And in you, we know what it is to be both lost and found, but also truly loved. And let's together go the distance. And we pray that for you today. Let's just pray before we move on. Father God, we just thank you for the blessing of this morning, for what Emma's courage and conviction shares with us about what it is to just sense you, to know you in our own hearts and lives, and to want to commit our lives to you, that we can truly go the distance with our hand in yours. Lord, we just lift again Emma to you, pray your blessing to be upon her, your protection, the infilling of your Holy Spirit, and just be with her into this day of celebration and indeed the rest of her life, we pray. Lord, for ourselves too, pray for any friends here who are feeling particularly lost today. Would you just encounter them in a very real way and draw them closer to you? Because, Lord, we know there is no better place than to be walking with you on this journey of our crazy lives amidst the roller coaster. Would you find us and reassure us of your love today? So we just lift ourselves to you now, pray your blessing over this day. Thank you for all that you have done for us, and that you find us, reassure us with your love and your presence today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.